best gifts are open before Christmas. The best gifts should be opened before Christmas. And if there's any kids here, they're going, yes. And parents are going, no. Notice what I said. The best gifts. The best. This is a season of giving. You know, so much attention during our Christmas season is about buying gifts, giving gifts, thinking about that whole process. And I believe there's an art to giving. And what I want us to do today is look at this art of giving and focus on what really are those best gifts that we can give. Think about the best gift you ever got. You know, it's Christmas season. We think about that typically in Christmas. And I can remember fifth grade Christmas. I got a chemistry set. All I wanted to do was blow something up. And I would try things, and I would go to the hobby store and buy more chemicals, and the best I ever got was a little sizzle, but it was fun anyway, you know. Let me change the question a little bit. What's the best gift you ever got that wasn't bought in a store? I remember a summer I was in Indiana on my great-grandfather's farm. He was a stoic, unemotional German farmer. And one day he asked me to go with him to look at one of the fields. And so we were walking, and as we were walking, he put his arm around me as we walked. Didn't say a lot, but man, that changed my whole relationship with him. It changed the way I viewed him. Just that attention and just that touch was an incredible gift to me. And then one that was even maybe in some ways it's different but very significant was when I was in college, 21 years old. It was my birthday. And the night before my birthday, one of my professors called me and said, would you like to skip classes tomorrow? Yes, of course. You know, I especially if the professor says it's got to be okay. And so he says, meet me out front in the morning. And so I met him out front, and I got in his car, and I said, where are we going? And he goes, you'll see. We drove from the college. This was a college in California. We drove to Long Beach. We got on a pontoon plane, flew to Catalina Island, spent the day on Catalina Island, took the boat back in the evening and had a great Italian dinner. I mean, I remember so many of the details of that. The gift of attention. You know, my 21st birthday was the best just because of the time that he spent investing in me. But the best gift ever, by far, the best gift ever, was a gift that I received a hot August day here in Arizona when I was in high school. It was the gift of grace. And I say that not because I'm on the stage and I'm supposed to say that. It truly was the best gift I ever got. When I received the reality that God loved me even though I was a mess, that God was for me, He wanted the very best for me, and I didn't deserve it. That was the best gift ever. And I'm convinced that we don't really get the depth of the gift of grace that God gave us. That we are all, at some level, messed up. We've all fallen short of the ideals that God has for us and the plans that He has for us. We've fallen short of that, and yet He still loves us. He's willing to adopt us into His family. And even though we don't deserve any of this, He loves us, and He wants us, and He's for us. I don't think we get the power of that. And the words wow and the words awesome still don't even come close to communicating the depth of that incredible grace that God has given us. There's a story in the Bible. A woman is brought to Jesus. The religious leaders caught this woman in the act of adultery. We don't know the details. In some ways, it's a strange story because they don't bring the guy that had to have been caught also. They bring just the woman. And of course, in those days, the law would allow for a woman who committed adultery to be stoned. And they bring her to Jesus for judgment. And how does Jesus respond? What kind of gift will Jesus give her? He could give her a lecture on morality. He could just outright condemn her. He could publicly humiliate her. But what kind of gift does he give her? He says, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. He gave her the gift of grace. The core of what I want to share today is this. There is an art to gifting. And that art to gifting has two parts. The first is that we've got to receive grace. That's the first part. And if we will truly receive grace, then we can give grace to others. The second part. And that's what I want us to look at. But it all begins with getting grace. Let's be clear on what grace is. Grace is God's absolute favor on us. He accepts us regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of character flaws, regardless of sin, regardless of the level of our selfishness, regardless of all that. He, through Jesus, accepts us fully and completely. He has abundance of mercy for us. Some of us need more than others. He loves us. Even though we don't deserve it, even though we cannot buy it, even though we can't earn it, he gives it as a pure gift to us. I want you to hear the words of the Apostle Paul. He describes this so well. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4, page 814 in the Bibles that are in the seats in front of you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Listen carefully. These words are carefully chosen. But because of his great love for us. What's the motivation for this? Because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy. He's not poor in mercy. He's rich in mercy. Made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And then down in verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. He repeats it again. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He says, because of our condition, because we were spiritually dead, what does that mean? It means that because of our attitudes, our beliefs, our selfishness, which results in our words and our actions that damage not only ourselves, damage not only the people around us, but ultimately damage our relationship with God. This damaging, this killing, so to speak, leaves us in a place where we're spiritually dead. We can't fix ourselves, and we can't erase all the wrong that's been done and all the bad that is in us. We can't just ignore it. God, in his love, offers us a gift. And that gift is that I love you, I'm willing to adopt you into my family. I accept you through Jesus, and this is a gift that you can't earn. You can't do enough good to try to turn this thing around. And see, that's what happens over the thousands of years of human history, is that mankind's tried to create religious forms, sometimes using some aspects of truth, but these religious forms have been all about trying to be good enough for God, and that's impossible. What he offers is a gift that we simply have to receive and let it fill us, realizing that God is giving this gift not because we earn it, not because we deserve it, just because he wants us to have this incredible gift. There's a pastor that had a prostitute that came to him. She didn't know he was a pastor when she first came, and she just began to pour out her life. She was homeless. She was physically sick. She was addicted to drugs and alcohol. She was broke. And she had a 2-year-old daughter with her. Through her sobbing, she just confessed the almost unbelievable, horrible things that she had done. The pastor was speechless. What would he say to this woman? What would you say to this woman? Would you remind her about her missteps and how those are damaging her 2-year-old daughter? Would you recount her bad choices and challenge her to change those? What would be your first response? That was what this pastor was struggling with: condemnation, judgment, or the gift of grace. This pastor was fumbling for words. He didn't even know how to respond. And so he, just trying to think of something to say, he said, "Well, have you thought about going to the church for help?" And she scoffed at him. She goes, "Church? Why in the world would I go to a church? I already feel terrible about myself. They would just make me feel worse." She's running from the church. And I think today a whole lot of people run from the church. Why? Because we have the message of truth. We have the message of morality. And we should never give up on those. But where's the message of grace? I think God was very intentional to make sure that we had the story of that woman who was caught in adultery, who was brought to Jesus, so that we would be reminded that we follow Jesus, the one who is the master at gift giving, who's the master of giving grace without giving up on truth and morality. And not only that, we not only have that story, but we have other stories of other prostitutes who came to Jesus. And what we see is that we've got these people running to Jesus. Running to Jesus. In fact, so much so that Jesus has a reputation. He's a friend of sinners. He's the master at it. Jesus, who is God, who represents God, consistently offers grace, especially to the people that the religious people had already said were undeserving of grace. Grace in our world is pretty rare. Grace is absolutely rare air around us. You see, not only does our world not give grace, our world doesn't know how to give grace. The way our world operates, and you know this, you've experienced it this past week in one form or another, is that the way the world operates is that if you want to get ahead, you got to earn your way. In fact, even the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. That's found in Second Alternatives. That's not in the Bible. But the world has taken this idea, you got to earn your way, and then they put a spiritual twist on it. God helps those who help themselves. That's not the way it works. In fact, we have lots of stories in here about people God helped who didn't know how to help themselves, at least at first. You get what you earn mentality. It's everywhere. We are judged, we are evaluated, we are graded, we are sized up all the time. And that get what you earn mentality has come into the church as well. But again, the one we follow, Jesus, our model, people ran to him. And yet today, so many people run from church people. So why do we have difficulty giving grace? I think it's, to me, it's obvious. The main reason that we struggle in giving grace is because we don't really have grace to give. We haven't really been filled with grace. There's not enough grace in us. We have so little grace that there's just not enough to give. And I think the core of that is that we don't own how big our sin is. We're not in this place where we realize that we are in need of grace because we think we're doing okay. Probably all of us at some level would in some way say, well, I'm better than any of those prostitutes that Glenn mentioned today. I'm better than any of the sinners that I can think of. And so we don't really sense that we have this real need for grace. And so the question then becomes, how do we get grace? I mean, really get grace, where it's deep in us, where it affects us, where it changes us, where it moves us. And, you know, are there some exercises we can do? And, you know, I've come up with exercises before to help people, and I don't know if these will help you or not. You can take time to do an inventory. That's what we do in the 12-step programs. Take an inventory of all the things that we've done wrong or that are character issues in us and write them out, and then symbolically maybe take them and flush them down the toilet, because that's what God does through Jesus, is he flushes that all away. Or maybe it helped to read some books. There's some really great books about grace. Philip Yancey's What's Amazing About Grace. Or Brennan Manning, Ragamuffin Gospel. That even the title ought to make you curious. Or just reading the Gospels. The Gospels are the first four books of the New Testament that tell the story of Jesus. Reading the way Jesus lived his life, a life full of truth and grace. I don't know what'll get you there, because we're all unique. But let me give you kind of a weird Christmas present. Okay, I said it's weird. This is my gift to you. You're a train wreck. You're an absolute mess. Whatever level of spirituality you've tried to create, it stinks before God. Inside of you is all kinds of ugliness. Attitudes, behaviors are ugly. You're a sinner. And you're a sinner deserving eternal punishment. Merry Christmas. Now, if you're new here, you're going, what kind of church is this? But I'm serious that can be a gift. Because until we get to that place where we realize what a mess we are. I can compare myself to a lot of other people and look pretty good. Until I compare myself to Jesus. And then I look lousy. Because my motives are bad more times than they're good. I value integrity, but yet there's still times when I lack integrity. I want to live the life that Jesus wants me to live, but I fall short. And you do too. And until we realize that's who we are, then we won't grasp how big and good God's grace is. I don't want you to stop at the fact that you're depraved. Yes, you are depraved. But don't stop there. That's what happens in churches is people hear that message and then they never go beyond. The message beyond that is he absolutely loves you and accepts you in Jesus Christ. In fact, you are a mess. You are depraved. That's 100% true. Except in Christ, he loves you. You're his child. And you're fully accepted. Unconditionally loved. That is grace. Now, how we get grace, that's going to vary because we're all unique. But here's one thing I know. You know when you've got grace. How do you know when you've got grace? Because your life is filled with gratitude. You see, if you're in this place where you realize you don't deserve anything from God, and yet God gives you all that he's given you, and he loves you, and you're his child, and you realize you cannot be helped but be filled with gratitude. And gratitude is this powerful motivator that helps us to continue to receive grace and then give grace away. I said there are two parts to the art of gifting, and it's got to start with receiving grace, but then it has to move to giving grace. Jesus sent his disciples, his 12 disciples, out on their very first mission trip, so to speak. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 10. And it's interesting, kind of the summary of the whole thing is he's preparing them, he's giving them instructions to go out. He says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. He says, "Freely you have received, freely give." There it is. There's the two parts. Freely you've received. Jesus has been generous with them, pouring his life into them, calling them, accepting them, loving them, equipping them. And he says, now you've received all this. Your job is to freely give, to give generously, not to measure this out, but just as you've received it, God hasn't measured it to you, you give it out just as generously and as freely as I have given it to you. And so what I want to challenge you to do is, starting right now in this season of giving, is to also engage in that second part, the giving of grace. The giving of grace to others. Giving grace, I don't mean that just to people who expect it from you, your family and friends, or those who deserve it. I'm talking about giving grace to those who don't expect it, or at least by the world standards, don't think they deserve it. So what is this giving of grace? What does this actually look like? And Jesus helps us with that too. There's a parable. Jesus told a lot of parables. In those parables, he communicates his spiritual truth. And one of these parables was about the end times, when all of us will stand before Jesus. And in this parable, it's found in Matthew 25, he separates the people. In the story, Jesus' parables always took experiences from everyday life in that day, and he said it's like a shepherd who is separating the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he describes as righteous. And he describes on how he determined that they were righteous. By the way, righteous means right doing, being right. I want us to pick up and just actually hear Jesus' words as he describes this. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 35. It's page 695 in the Bibles that are in front of you. Listen to this is what Jesus says. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Now, as he's telling the story, he's doing the very thing that you and I would do as we're listening to this. We'd say, when did that happen? Verse 37, they said, "The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, Jesus, a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothes you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?'" Verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. What Jesus does in this is he affirms those that he calls righteous, the sheep, as having cared for the homeless, as having fed the hungry and providing water for the thirsty, clothing those who need clothes, those who are infirmed or incarcerated, caring for them. And then he says, and as Jesus is telling that, in that society especially, those were people that were represented as people that society would say, you deserve nothing. You've got what you've earned. Tough luck. And Jesus says, no, you gave grace to those who needed it, to the down and outers, to the undesirables, quote unquote, of the world. Every parable that Jesus tells has a kicker. A kicker is this surprise piece. And every time you read a parable, look for the kicker. The kicker here is this. As he's telling this story about caring for those in need, he says, you did it for me. And they go, when did we do that for you? And that's what the kicker of this story is, that when we give grace to the least among us, we're giving a gift to Jesus. When we give grace to the least among us, we are giving a gift to Jesus. And so my challenge is really simple. May this Christmas season we begin to intentionally give gifts to Jesus. It's Christmas. The first and the best gifts, remember we're talking about best gifts? The first and the best gifts that we should be giving is to Jesus. And Jesus tells us what those best gifts are: giving grace to those who are least among us. Clear as can be. A pastor friend of mine this year shared with me a book that was written by a member of his congregation. It's called The Sparkle Box, and we have these available. I love the message of The Sparkle Box. In this, it's the story of a family, a mom and a dad and their son, and the mom and dad decide to take this seriously. They begin to give grace to the least in their community. And as they're teaching their son these things, as they buy gloves for a homeless man and food for people that are hungry and various things, the mom or the dad, they write down what they've done, and then they put it in what they call the sparkle box. The sparkle box is up on the mantle by the Christmas tree, and the boy wants to know what's in there, and they say, we're not going to open it until Christmas. He can't wait to see what's in the sparkle box. And on Christmas, they open the box, and mom and dad read the things that they did, the gifts that they gave to Jesus as they gave grace to the least among them. It was a way for them to teach their son that the first and the best gifts we give at Christmas are the gifts we give to Jesus. And Jesus defined that to the least of these. If you want, we have these books available for sale. They're at the children's resource area by the children's building. It comes with a sparkle box. You don't have to buy the book. You know, moms, dads, grandparents, this is a great tool to use to lead your family to become grace givers. You don't have to buy the book. You can make your own sparkle box. The point is that we take serious, we put into practice grace giving. It starts with receiving grace, and then we pass it on. Freely we have received, freely give. Let me give you an example of one way you can do that, something you can put in your sparkle box, one of the gifts that you can give to Jesus. We take a Christmas Eve offering. We always take that Christmas Eve offering, and that's for others, just for others. And the first $22,000 of our Christmas Eve offering is going to go to purchase 100,000 mobile pack meals. These are meals that can be taken anywhere in the world where there's a disaster or famine or whatever the circumstance might be where there's hunger. And these are nutritious meals that are easily prepared, very, very safe, very well balanced. And we're going to purchase 100,000 of these meals. So one of the ways that you can do that then is as a family, is make that gift to Jesus Christmas Eve. Then on January 10th and 11th, right after the new year, we're actually going to package those 100,000 meals here. Okay, so we need a whole bunch of us who, and this is a great thing as a family, with friends or with your group to come together and do this. This is going to involve young children as well, and that we are actually going to manually pack these things to get them ready to ship. It's another way that you can put a little gift to Jesus in your sparkle box. There's a lot of ways. All you have to do is raise up your head and look around. Simply ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to touch a life? If you ask that with sincerity, God will show you. You'll have obvious opportunities to give grace. So this Christmas season, may we recapture the real heart of what it's all about. Freely God has given to us. Freely we've received. May we freely give to truly make a difference in the lives of others. In Jesus' name, for Jesus. I'm going to ask our servers, if you would please, to prepare. And then I want to ask all of us if we would to stand and join with Paul as we celebrate the fact that we have received this amazing thing called grace.